About the Mermaid Realm. The Mermaid Realm spans through several nature planes as physical, etherical, astral, mental, etc. The higher parts of the Mermaid Realm is interstellar and involves several star systems and planets. Some mermaid groups on Earth has free access to the oceans on planets in other star systems and teleports freely between the Earth oceans and oceans on other planets. The rest of this page describes the interaction between Earth people and mermaids incarnated into a human body. It can also to some degrees be used to describe interaction between Earth human and real mermaids at emotional levels. Edited from a book by William R. M. Mermaid Love and Attraction Questions: Are mermaids addicted to loving others? What is behind this? What is our purpose? Are we supposed to love and heal men? Response: The actual answer to your question is not found in clear explanations but in the choices you make about how to exchange energy with others. I review 10 basic ways mermaids love and exchange energy with others. The short answer to your questions: mermaids exist to love. They are love. In their own realm, they are immersed within a field of love that vibrates within all the waters of any planet. Love is simply allowing this sea of love that surrounds them to flow through them to others. And in their own realm, others flow energy back in return. The exchange is always equal and continuous. In the human realm, love is a scarce commodity. It is in short supply. Some people go their entire lives without ever experiencing its taste or its embrace. One option for mermaids who are here in human bodies among human beings is to learn how to consciously direct and modulate their energy in a unique way for each relationship they are in. You can become fully conscious of the energy exchange taking place with others as compared to spontaneously giving all of yourself freely in every moment. The realm of mermaids: if someone can sense energy, which any training in magic will teach, you will know when you have stumbled, perhaps by accident while meditating, into the realm of mermaids. Or perhaps you are talking to a mermaid right now who sits in front of you and who has cloaked her spirit in the form of a woman's body or in an invisible form. Either way, the energy is the same, whether an entire realm or one woman's aura. It is nurturing, flowing, loving, healing, playful, full of beauty, tenderness, sensuality, and it flows through you seeking to be one with you. She is a representative of a sea of love that surrounds and flows through her. And she is flirtatious without knowing it, vivacious, empathic, and often innocent beyond human understanding. You will also notice that she has no ego, no selfishness, no sense of personal boundaries or individual identity, though she can still perceive clearly the nature of anyone or anything she is near. She and the realm itself are acutely aware of every kind of attraction and any kind of exchange of energy. But what I have just said is just another way of describing the water element itself. The earth element, by contrast, likes to build things that endure. But the mermaids feel that the nurturing sea of love in which they exist is the final end of everything that can be accomplished or achieved. The fire element seizes every obstacle and tests every boundary, treating each as an opportunity to expand and master its will and power. But the mermaid feels love is the highest purpose and the perfect expression of all will and power. The air element pursues clarity of mind and understanding of all things so that harmony can be achieved. But the mermaid, without need of thoughts, words, or mental activity, can tell instantly the true nature of anything purely through feeling. 1. Mermaid's auras. She gives the life within herself to others. This usually involves one or more of three feelings: contentment, vivaciousness, and magnetic love. 2. Water magic in nature. The way she gives herself often involves the vibration of water as reflected in some aspect of nature. 3. Magical empathy. Mermaids, when they do this, can establish a permanent connection to another. 4. Oceanic love. Mermaids are a part of the ocean, and the ocean for them is the vibration of love. They often extend this vibration of a sea of love through others around them. Though anyone can learn to do this, you will almost never find it being practiced by human beings. 5. Oceanic love shared by two. The energy of two individuals flows together like two streams joining as one river. 6. Mermaid empathy senses the future. Some mermaids can literally relive your past experiences as if they are their own. Mermaids can sense what you feel now in the present. Often they can also sense your future, the person you can become, your better self. It is not that they are visualizing or imagining your future. Mermaids can enter the future so that the person you will one day become is right now in front of them. 7. Fulfilling another's deepest dreams. Some mermaids continue sensing who you are meant to be by permanently placing a part of herself inside of you. She creates an image, a manifestation, of what fulfills your deepest needs. I know of 3 ways they do this. A. Physically 1. With some of these women, if you touch them as in place your hand on her arm, you feel one with them as if there is no you or me, only oneness. There is no doctrine, metaphysics, or concept here. It is a physical sensation, a stream of consciousness of being joined to another so that nothing else exists but your oneness. Be soul oneness. The physical oneness just described can also include the astral plane. You feel that the two of you share a sacred dream or magical space in which the two of you have become one. See magnet, like magnetism. Like bringing together the N and S poles of 2 horseshoe magnets, there is a powerful physical force of attraction, almost like gravity, pulling the two of you together. 10 kinds of mermaid love and attraction. 1. Mermaid's auras. A mermaid has the ability to give to others the life that is within herself. This is a natural and spontaneously action on her part. This usually involves one or more of 3 feelings: contentment, vivaciousness, and magnetic love. Contentment with contentment is acceptance, renewal, healing, serenity, inner peace, calmness, relaxation, release, and happiness. All of these help an individual to feel one with himself. Now an individual can go out into nature, hike and camp out in the mountains, raft down the Colorado River, sail south until he sees the Southern Cross for the first time, fish for salmon in the streams of Alaska, etc. He puts aside his social anxieties and needs to compete. He relaxes and unwinds. And then he feels refreshed and revived by becoming a part of geological time. The schedules and routines of society no longer apply. Or, he can spend time with you. You are nature itself for a human male. He feels all the same feelings of being out in nature when your aura passes through him. He cannot figure out why, but at least briefly when your energy flows through him, he feels high, larger than life, and now far more alive. To get the sense of contentment that some mermaids can create, you do not even need to be near water. Simply go sit outside beneath a full moon. Feel the moonlight on your skin. Here is what moonlight itself possesses if you can sense it: linear time stops. The outer world ceases to hold any importance to you. You are now part of a dream. And in this dream you can feel and sense how every desire will find satisfaction, every need is fulfilled, every ideal made real, and for each dream there will come a time when it fully manifests. Within the touch of moonlight on your skin, all these things are real to you right now in this moment. You are not separate from them. They are alive within you, for that is the nature of a dream, that it is able to experience life in every way that life itself can be felt. This is what some mermaid women can create in others as their auras flow them. Vivaciousness. The second feeling is vivaciousness. As I explained shortly, a mermaid woman has far more subliminal reactions to a man than anyone he has met before. Consequently, everything he does seems more alive and real around you. And this is the nature of water. It responds in a new and unique way in each moment, in each situation it enters, and with each person it is with. Water frozen 10,000 years melts, and in the very next moment it acts without any reference to its past. It possesses innocence. The past does not shape its responses in the present moment. You will not find this kind innocence among human beings in any similar degree. Vivaciousness is sunlight falling on waves. The water reflects what is present, offering the same dazzling light in response. Water is sunlight in frozen ice. A woman can shine as bright as the sun itself simply by receiving what it is given. Absorbing another's energy, she contains and sustains the other's life. Vivaciousness is like champagne. It is bubbly and it gets you high, reducing your inhibitions. She is so much in the present moment that you forget what is weighing you down from the past and what you are worried about in the future, and just go with the flow of whatever is unfolding right now. Mermaid women are often criticized as flirting with everyone. But that is not so. They are just responding to each moment and giving all of themselves without holding back. You can tell when you are with such a woman. It is like she is a stream and you are gravity. Every single move she makes is in response to your presence. They are that receptive. To be totally in the moment requires an individual to be free of ego boundaries. And to do that, you need part of the magic which a mermaid woman possesses. Her identity is not a function of her experiences in society. She senses she is a part of nature, or as some of them say, "I have always felt a part of nature, it is embedded in my very core." Magnetic love, usually in human love, there is a strong sense of bonding that occurs. I need you and you need me, we need each other, and so let us spend our lives together, make a home and raise a family. Kind of like that. The mermaid love follows a different pattern. It is like water and also a magnetic field. The mermaid's aura extends through anyone near to her. Since her aura is inside and around you, she can literally feel what you feel. For her, the same life that is in the other is now within her. If you have sufficient empathy, you can feel this way with others as well. I feel you are within me and a part of me. If you are close to a mermaid, she will sense your desires and needs and try to respond to them. Your needs are her needs. What is important to you is important to her. Or, as one merman puts it, lying beside you, she dreams your dreams. Mermaids in this sense can be highly protective. They want to nurture, keep alive, and strengthen in others' energy. There is an inner, secret sharing heart to heart. It is not that she does not offer this to everyone. In her own realm, a mermaid greeting involves becoming one with another in terms of feeling. But in the human world, it is so rare for her to meet a human being who is capable of such intimacy that when it does occur, she realizes how special it is. What is so mind-boggling is that because she can easily establish a deep intimate contact with you, this does not mean she needs you or is attached or bonded to you. It is simply her nature to offer all of herself, even though again few respond to her in kind. With this kind of magnetic love, you can always feel her presence as if part of her is inside of you and one with you. Distance in this case does not separate the two of you. She can flow her aura through you no matter where you are in the cosmos. Question: lately I've been having a lot of trouble with men, 5 in 1 week from varying degrees, and it is all unwanted. One guy I dated briefly and then broke it off a month ago. But he just sent me some gifts and was angry I didn't call him right away to thank him. He doesn't understand it is over. Is this common with merwoman? I have learned this week that I need to be stronger against men and very clear in what I want and do not want from them. This mer energy seems to lead them on. What do you think? Another thing, the men I date get very attached very fast. Often they want me to move in with them and want to have children with me. They often ask me on the first date. I'm sure that is not normal behavior. It's nearly every guy I come across. Response: to answer your question, yes, I think it is common with mer women that men seem to fall in love with them quickly, excessively, and for little observable reasons. And for some of the men, they will try to possess, dominate, and or control you. It is great you are learning to be or already are assertive with men, and it helps to be very firm about personal boundaries with them. Here are a few explanations. First, human beings are not at all familiar with the elemental water you have in your aura. This water energy triggers what I call a kundalini effect in them. Without conscious awareness, they begin to feel an insatiable hunger or the equivalent of a drug addiction to you. Your aura is like cocaine and they need to come back again and again to get high or get their fix, otherwise they feel half dead when they leave you. But actually they are just returning to normal. For more on the kundalini effect, see How to Speak Mermaid later in this web page. One local woman here puts a bubble around herself that blocks her energy from men, because she says if a stalker can't feel her energy, he won't stalk her. It is more than energy though. If you observe carefully body and nonverbal responses like look in the mirror and talk to yourself, you will notice you have an observable set of traits that anyone can see if they look really carefully for it. Your range of facial expressions and body language, the way you glance with your eyes, turn your head, the tension, fullness, and curve in your lips, even the cheek, neck, and forehead muscles change to such an extent in a conversation you may have 10 to 20 times more expressions than a human woman. This means that men get from you 10 times more nonverbal responses than they experience with anyone else. Consequently, men often say they feel not twice but 5 times more alive around women such as you. If there was a school to teach beauty, it would have to teach this kind of vivaciousness. Like water, you reshape and express your emotions and body in endless new ways. You have an ability to make others feel more alive even though they cannot consciously articulate why you affect them so deeply. When I do photo shoots with women, I sometimes have a hard time getting human woman to express more than 2 or 3 different facial expressions. But with a mer woman, I can often get endless different facial expressions to the extent it sometimes looks like I am shooting a number of different women in the same 3-hour period. The elemental water in your aura in its essence gives life and makes others feel more alive. In our civilization, we have no Vestal Virgins, a very sacred and highly honored position guarding the sacred flame as they had in ancient Rome. We have no temples to Venus, so that when you meet the priestess and engage in the rituals, you leave the temple and feel every cell in your body is immersed in and reborn through love, that a path of beauty is set before you to follow. This does not exist in our world. And so men have no blueprints in their heads for accepting and appreciating the magic of femininity. It would be nice if you could simply say to some of these men, "I am like a goddess incarnate. I can sense and feel the man you can become once you have mastered your problems and strengthened your weaknesses. I can inspire and encourage you to become that man as a gift that life seeks to offer to you through me. But if you treat me as a sexual object or woman to possess, then you will miss out on this gift life seeks to give to you." Of course, with care and being very assertive, you can make just about any relationship with any man work out. The truth is that a man would have to go on a spiritual journey before he can actually meet you halfway in a relationship. He would have to find the beauty and love of streams, lakes, and seas within himself. But how many men on earth can understand what I have just said? Question: can you please explain why exactly or how it is that mermaids' watery auras create a space to release other people's rage, negativity, and other emotions? How does this work exactly? Response: observe human beings. They are constantly engaging in self-validation. They need to reassure themselves that I am real, the world is real, and the person in front of me is real. If they do not get that, if something is going on that does not reassure them that reality is operating, that everything is normal and familiar, then they experience acute anxiety or feel something is very wrong. I listened to a merman. He told me about his previous 5 relationships with women. The women at first are drawn to him. They feel this ocean of love that he have to share. But then at some point they feel like they are drowning. They can't handle it. They are too far from shore. They want to return to land where things are solid and predictable. Or to put it in human terms, when 2 people fall in love, they often share a private dream in which they have put aside their personal boundaries in order to draw close to each other. There is a hypnotic focus on the other person whenever they are together or think about each other. And this romantic state of mind is important because relationships require a lot of energy to sustain them. But see, right there is the danger. They have put aside their personal boundaries that are so essential for protecting them from being harmed. So when something goes wrong in the relationship, that feeling of being in an enchanted kingdom changes into its opposite. They feel betrayed and deceived, as if they have been taken to some horrible place where they have been abandoned. The lover has changed into a monster. The kingdom of the heart has become a wilderness of pain. And the energy that flowed so deeply between them like a river has turned into a dry stream. That is what human beings deal with when they try to love another. There is great risk for them. And that is what they will see in him: great danger to themselves. They want the love and healing, but they also equally want someone who enforces safe boundaries and demands that the interaction is always fair. This is the world they understand. Pure innocence, delight in every moment, love that is always accepting and giving, a feeling of being one with another, and the incredibly feeling of being alive. They simply cannot handle those things, but they will endlessly crave them once they taste them or even sense them from a distance. And so the time-tested and best option they have developed down through human ages is to marry, possess, and control the other person. Or they will try to make you weak by hazing and abusing you, as in saying stuff like "you are so stupid. Why aren't you giving me what I need? How can you make me feel this way? This is all your fault. Why don't you do what I want? How can you be so selfish?" And so on. They will run through every possible way of making you feel guilty or weak or confused because they do not know how to control you. But they can never get enough because the source of your love is beyond human understanding. Though some men are exceptions. Your question, why do men want to dump their rage, negativity, anger, etc. on a mermaid woman? The answer is that if you give something for free to human beings, they most likely will feel that you are doing so because you owe it to them. Even the most submissive of human women do not give something for free. They simply do not have an extra amount of energy to give to others. So for example, if a woman is seemingly giving all of herself to a man, he will think it is because she desperately needs him for protection or reassurance or to fill in what is missing in herself. All men know this. So then you come along and say through your actions here, "I have love to give, in every moment I give all of myself because that is what I am. I am love." The man will naturally think you are desperately in need of him and that somehow you are seriously damaged, because you are not playing by the rules. And if he senses that you actually do not need him, he will be truly bewildered. Men expect women to help glue them together and negotiate with them to be fair. But you are not doing that. And furthermore, in giving so much as you do to the man, you end up acting as a human dialysis machine. You automatically take his negative energy and purifying it in your aura and return good energy to him. And once he realizes you do this for him, he will demand, expect, and obsessive need you to keep doing it. Otherwise, as you note, they get angry. 2. Water magic in nature. The way a mermaid woman gives of herself often reflects some aspect of nature. We are all surrounded in every moment by the beauty of nature. It is the most natural of things for two people to also feel this wonder and beauty within their relationship. The following is a meditation I wrote for a mer group of women. It reviews a number of nature images. In meditating with these images, you combine the sensations of water in nature with the feelings that are underneath or within these images. Start by imagining you are on the sound of a small, warm ocean bay. Then allow the words read silently or aloud or by listening to a video to flow through you. Become water in its many forms. At the end, there is the silver chalice whose waters reflect the universe. Imagine, if you would like to try this, someone difficult in your life in front of you. Be both the magnetic, still water that reflects the universe and, as this water, flow through from head to foot the difficult person you visualize. Allow this water of perfect receptivity and love to cleanse this person of anything negative. There is an open space so vast that there is nothing in it that can be attacked, possessed, or manipulated. And there is a love that heals and renews, offering freedom, wonder, and joy. Often negative people become calm and reasonable when this kind of awareness is present. Like the stream, I nurture all things. I dream others' dreams. Like the waterfall, I can let go, to become nothing at all, to fall into the embrace of air and space. In the mountain pool, I laugh and splash. I renew and go. As rivers, I am the bloodstream of the earth. And like the river, the sea calls to me. As ice, I captured the sun's dazzling light. As the lake, the beauty of the universe shines from my face. Like the wave breaking on the beach, I am release. As the ocean trench, I am the love of the sea in its silence and depths. Like the sea, I encircle the earth. I am life nurturing and giving birth. We are sitting on the sand with our feet in the water. The sea is before us, blue-green waves stretching from the shores of one continent to another. Look at the waves in front of you. Watch as they spread out to the horizon, and envision the vast expanse beyond as they circle the earth. Consider the winds that drive them, and the tides rising and falling. To the north, feel the icy pole of the world. Consider the wilderness where snow falls for half a year in darkness. Gaze upon white cliffs of ice and the icebergs to which they give birth. See and feel them drift to the south. Toward the equator, feel the warmth of the moist trade winds. Visualize the island chains. Sense the ease with which clouds form from the seas and hurricanes are fashioned from the rising warm water and air. Visualize also the shores of islands as they gradually or rapidly drop down to the ocean floor. Send your mind into these depths. Among the deepest trenches of the sea are lost ships, volcanoes, and darkness, but you are able to walk here without difficulty. Become the primordial sea, feel the sea's heartbeat, its breath, its currents, its tides, and the myriad forms of life dwelling within it. The ocean, vast and mysterious, is the dream of being accepted, of being able to relax, let go, and float in a place too great for the mind to imagine. Wave after wave of sensual caresses, with rhythm and passion, renew, heal, and yield to us the taste of beauty and freedom. And now, it is night and I see the goddess of the sea walking toward me dressed in white. She dreams of holding in her hands a silver chalice that gathers the distilled essence of all the stars. I dream her dream. And when I dream this dream I feel like her, one with the universe, a mountain pool. Let us focus in on one of these images, a mountain pool. There is a small waterfall, a gentle spray of drops falling, moisture in the air, sparkling light dancing in the falling drops, the sound of splashing in the pool, small ripples running across the surface, and the water flowing over some rocks as it continues down the hill. Imagine you are the water falling, dropping through the air, splashing, circling in the pool, and then flowing on. Take a few moments to explore those sensations, the falling drops and the goo, splashing water, the sounds and moisture in the air. And note the feeling of purity, release, relaxation, and peace that they awaken. Make this mountain pool a part of you and love will never be far from you. If you could cup water in your palms and then breathe into it life so it takes on the form of a woman who can speak and respond with personality, then this is what you would have. 3. Magical empathy. I place this here as an introduction which anyone can easily learn. Mermaids, when they do this, can establish a permanent connection to another. Magical empathy is sometimes practiced in Western psychology. I have met therapists who on occasion use it. I am interested in seeing if the girl can learn to directly sense the extent she is filling in the void in another person. Basically, you imagine you are the other person in every detail, what they look like, their body language, how they speak, think, feel, and are sitting or standing. You then look for a physical sensation in your body of what it is like to be this person. And then you ask yourself, what is this sensation like? Is there an image or symbol that you could use to express it? What does it tell you about what the other person is like or about the inner flow of the other's life? This action usually establishes a subliminal connection to another person because for a short period of time you and the other person may feel closer to each other than anyone else. The exercise establishes another line of communication, body to body and feeling to feeling, between two people rather than words and thoughts that is so typical of communication in human society. For example, with a young woman whom I consider to be amazingly complex, I get a sensation in my belly as if I have just eaten a piece of Godiva chocolate. It is sweet, warm, and satisfying. The sensation tells me that in spite of my ideas about her, she actually is what she appears to be, a sweet, young, and a loving woman. With a stockbroker whom I just met, I get a sensation of being very relaxed, laid back, and easygoing. This sensation is in complete contrast to his physical appearance, which is tense and in control. I ask him about this. He says he is looking forward to retiring and that I seem to know more about him than any of his friends. Women who are high empaths and connected too often do not use words to think. They perceive the exchange of energy between people, and that is where their basic interaction is taking place. If you do the magical empathy with a mermaid, however, to feel what she feels, means you have to become familiar with water in nature, lakes, rivers, oceans, waves, and tides. Otherwise, the magical empathy will not really work. You have not become a part of nature as she is a part of nature, for mermaid women often embody astral immortality within themselves. They are forever new, innocent, self-purifying, giving all of themselves in every moment, for this is the vibration within the element of water on earth. It is a nurturing love that gives of itself, flowing in and through others who are nearby. 4. Oceanic love. Mermaids are a part of the ocean, and the ocean for them is the vibration of love. They often extend this vibration of a sea of love through others around them. Though anyone can learn to do this, you will almost never find it being practiced among human beings. Mermaids do not have morality or ethics. They existed before human religions were created. Instead, a mermaid can perceive love directly as an exchange of energy between people. In this sense, she has no metaphysics or theology. Look at her. She embodies love. This is not something added to her aura. This immersion in love and offering it to others is her very essence. This sense of giving is so strong that a mermaid cannot stop giving love. To stop loving would be like a human being stopping breathing. If you stop breathing, you would in a short time no longer be alive. If you can somehow connect to this sea of love so that it is always flowing through you to others, then you have just gained honorary status as a member of the mermaid realm. And so when you are with a mermaid woman, there is now an automatic, subliminal and real emotional force joining the two of you together. What is within one person is also within the other. If you can feel as mermaids feel, then you are one of them. Ocean of love exercise. Imagine that you are in the center of an ocean of water. This ocean extends in all directions around you. You sense the fluidity, flowing, wet, and cold sensations of a blue-green sea. Next, change the physical sensations of a sea of water into feelings, into a sea of nurturing love. The watery sensations become the feelings of supporting, animating, sheltering, healing, renewing, and inspiring all living beings. In other words, physical sensations are changing into qualities of feelings. To understand this better, try this exercise. Take one hand and grasp the wrist of your other hand. Notice the physical sensations, the warmth, pressure, and tactile details of touch. Briefly explore these sensations in various ways. For example, imagine you are holding the wrist of someone who is off balance. You are steadying the other. In this case, there is a stronger grasp ready to exert more strength if that is needed. Or, imagine you are detaining someone like a child who wants to run into the street where there is traffic. Here the hold is more forceful and commanding. Now then, in contrast to the above, imagine you are placing only a feeling into this touch. This feeling is neither forceful nor assertive. It is not trying to accomplish anything physical at all. The feelings is, I love you with all of my heart. Take a few moments and imagine you have clasped the wrist of someone you love, a child, a lover, or a caregiver. It may help to recall an experience when you actually did this. Do not think. Just feel. You may now notice, for example, a different sensation of warmth. The energy in your touch goes completely through the other wrist. There is a sense of holding, uniting, and bonding. It is almost like the hand feels it has become one with the part of the other arm it is holding. In a similar way, the physical sensations of water change into feelings of love. This love flows into, unites, and becomes part of whatever it touches. Now, visualize another person in front of you, someone with whom you are familiar. Visualize the person's body as being empty inside. Next, imagine that as the sea of love you begin to flow through this person. You move through the other from head to feet as if he is open inside and you are a stream of watery love. As you do so, sense everything within this person. Your cool, flowing water heals, purifies, harmonizes, and nourishes. pain and tension dissolve. Frustration and unhappiness disappear. The individual feels whole, complete, happy, and serene. In effect, you are uniting the individual with this sea of all-embracing love. This exercise neither exhausts you nor does it overwhelm you with the other person's emotions of distress. You continue to identify yourself with a vast sea of watery love as you flow through the person. You are both one with the other and also detached at the same time. I taught this exercise to one woman in several minutes. When she practiced it on her boyfriend, she discovered she could produce physical sensations in his body even though neither of them were psychic or worked with energy meditations. Young women in particular have an innate ability to succeed with this exercise. When I taught this simple meditation to a mermaid woman, she said to me, "I already do this every day with my boyfriend. I just never put it into words the way you do." The difference between doing the exercise and a mermaid woman's aura is that the mermaid woman does this exercise automatically. There is no effort to it and no intellectual decision about when and where to extend herself. She has an inner union with nature, and her connection to nature continuously provides her with love and energy to give to others. 5. Oceanic love shared by two. The energy of two individuals flows together like two streams joining as one river. In Taoist yoga as taught by Mantakya, the vitality in an individual's body flows in a circle up the back and down the front. The energy in each individual can also join with a partner, so there is one energy stream moving through both partners. The Merman Mott suggests a similar linking of the energy of two individuals. For Mott, however, you create a natural flow of vitality and soul energy between two individuals that revives every cell in their bodies. Though you each have your own body, your separate energies become like two clouds that join or two rivers that flow together. You feel that kind of energy exchange going on. Mott does not use meridians. The male and female body each have their own electromagnetic poles and flows of energy. For Mott, there is a watery kind of energy like a vapor or mist that freely flows back and forth between two partners. It is refreshing, renewing, reviving, rejuvenating, healing, and makes you feel fully alive. It happens when two partners are completely open to and receptive to each other. One of the mermaid women I know lives 2,000 miles away. But if I imagine holding her hand, I instantly feel our auras flowing through each other. With another mermaid woman, if I imagine holding her hand, the energy takes a minute to begin to flow. It is like she is placing her hands around my hand and focusing on the touch. And gradually it is like two streams of water flowing together. And she likes it. She does not want me to let go of the connection. With other mermaid women, the naturalness and spontaneity of the connection is not there. I do not have that ease in connecting to them. The flow of energy is not a personal connection. It is more like chemistry, in which different individuals have a flair for matching each other's vibrations. What the Merman Mott is after, however, is not just linking the energy in our two bodies so they flow together. It is more like the ocean of love in the previous exercise is being practiced by both individuals at the same time while they focus on each other. In this case, the energy connection involves the love within nature and the seas, and not just what is present in the individuals. If I focus again on the first girl I mentioned above and do the ocean of love exercise on her, I can feel the watery love energy flowing through her. I can sense where she has needs that are unmet, and I am operating in this moment to meet those needs. But this is not being done by using my own energy, but rather it is through the vast sea of love that I am identifying within this moment and directing through her body. The sea of love again is for me blue-green cold water, and it is soothing, nurturing, renewing, purifying, and fulfilling. I put aside my ego and identify with this sea so that I feel vast, deep, and inexhaustible in my love and energy. As I flow this energy through her, I then feel one with her. There is the sea and she is within this sea of energy, and we are one. There is no me actually present, just love. If she reciprocates and flows this sea through me, I see the open ocean at night with moonlight streaming down, and I feel relaxed, peaceful, and serene. I can hear the waves and feel the wind, and there is nothing else in my awareness. But Remot wants us to both do this exercise at the same time on each other. Here we are both consciously identifying with the sea of love and at the same time focusing that sea into the other person. Now the energy flow is much richer and stronger than when I hold her hand or flow the energy through her by myself. It is this strength and depth of watery love that mermaid women are used to experiencing in their own realm. It is turned on all the time and everyone always returns the flow that you give to them. But when they come into our world and flow their loving energy through others, there is no reciprocity. People are not conscious of the energy the mermaids are flowing into them and they have no elemental, watery energy love to flow back. If I do his dual flow of energy with another woman, I can sense her need to learn about love within the human world and I present that love to her. Her effect on me is that I feel I am aware of an entire ocean. I feel like a god of the sea when she focuses her energy into me. This same woman, like some others, without effort flow their auras through their boyfriends so the flow is continuous and unbroken. In fact, this girl flows energy through all her old boyfriends as well. Once she establishes an inner energy connection to someone, she keeps streaming her love through that person. She just does not run short on energy. 6. Mermaid empathy senses the future. Some mermaids can literally relive your past experiences as if they are their own. Mermaids can sense what you feel now in the present. Often they can also sense your future, the person you can become, your better self. Working with the magnetic fluid is one way of learning to sense the future. A simple exercise for the magnetic fluid. Imagine a blue or blue-green ball of water 6 feet in diameter in front of you. It is cool, magnetic, and contracting. It is attractive, soothing, and calming. It shelters, protects, and heals. It is receptive in the sense that it is utterly empty of form and completely open, able to receive and contain the soul of any being within itself, nurturing, inspiring, and empowering it to attain to completion and fulfillment. Now imagine that this ball changes into an exact replica of yourself. It is you standing or sitting there, in front of you. Sense how this person is different from yourself. What qualities and powers does this person have that you do not? And once more imagine this magnetic blue-green ball of water in front of you. Now imagine someone else inside of the watery ball of energy and the watery magnetism is absorbed into this individual so the other is filled with it inside. What is this person now like as he or she embodies magnetic and loving energy? This is a way of sensing the future, what a person can become, the other's better self. The mermaid named Istafuel can take the innermost need within you, reveal it as a complete vision, and then enliven that vision so you feel you are living within it right now. She takes you into the future that is to be so you can taste it, touch it, meet others within it, and experience it in every way as being real and alive. Sometimes when you are talking to a mermaid woman, you may notice she is not just talking to you. She is talking to the person you will also be, who you are meant to be, in the future. This is not new age creative visualization for her. She is actually in the future with your future self and directing herself from that place back into the past, which is your present moment now. In other words, she speaks about your future as if she is already there in it, that it has already become real. So there is far more persuasiveness in what she says about you than if she were just visualizing it. When the mermaid queen Istafuel said to me, "In your soul waves roll 5,000 miles and magnetism flows between the poles," she was talking about my future self. It was already real to her. She was with a person I have not yet met, the man I will one day be. If you are dealing with an individual in conflict or a negative individual, you can often dissolve the negativity or the confusion by doing this. Visualize the other person's better self, who he is meant to be, the individual having learned all that he needs to learn to be creative and fulfilled. But live it also. Imagine that what you are seeing is real right now and you are in the future with this now fulfilled person. The most skilled empaths do this spontaneously. They can not only sense your feelings and memories as if they are their own. They live and experience your future as well. But again, it is not just an image of the future in an individual's mind. The magnetic energy, The magical power within water serves as a medium that cancels linear time and makes the future real in the present moment. There is a blessing aspect to sensing the future. Visualize someone right now so you see the other in front of you. Now imagine this individual feeling whole and complete. Whatever is missing is now present. Desires are satisfied, purposes accomplished, and dreams fulfilled. Put together a feeling, a thought, and a picture of what this might be like for the individual. Now, imagine blessing the other person in this way, see and feel it as if it is real right now. The idea of blessing involves an act of daring. You accept the person as he or she is right now, and you also dream what the person can be. For mermaids, the oceans brought life into being, sustain life, and offer dreams of what can be. To dare is the very nature of water. You could say that the queens of the mermaids, as masters of water, automatically bless anyone they meet. It is a function of the magnetism in their auras. They empower others to feel alive and to fulfill their dreams. May the sun shine upon all your paths, may friends always walk beside you, may love always guide you and reach the inner recesses of your heart, may every task you seek be made complete, may you be the sun and the moon to others' lives, may you be as the light of dawn to others in the darkest night, may you taste the happiness that comes only to a few in every century, may you find another who brings you comfort and is always there to share all your cares. Though we once talked and walked and joked as we traveled the path of life seeking to fulfill a dream, the gift you gave of yourself was all I could ever want or need. Peace to you. May the peace of the sun, the moon, the sky and seas always flow through your dreams. And in the end may you look back and see that your life is all it is meant to be. I sensed the magic in this girl. But it is not the girl. It is the watery magnetism in her aura that exerts the magical influence. I love your eyes, so quiet and peaceful. A place to let go and forget who I am until I awaken to the sound of waves breaking on the shore and the scent of the sea. I see the man I was meant to be walking toward me. Your eyes dream him into being. On magnetism as it relates to cold water. 7. Fulfilling another's deepest dreams. Some mermaids continue sensing your best future by permanently placing a part of themselves inside of you. The I Ching talks about the great feminine, the yin principle. The feminine, whether positive or negative, guards the deepest mysteries of the soul. In its positive version, like the mother, its support, love, nurturing, and sheltering presence is inside of you your entire life. She gives herself to you. She bonds with you. And she is always with you. 3 ways to do this in a relationship. The first way is to extend into your partner the essence of your own gender. I know individuals who do this. The woman feels her lover is always connected to her and a part of her inside. But this is not just a flow of energy to the partner. It is like having the masculinity or femininity of the opposite gender united to you from inside. This is a tremendously liberating way to relate to one's partner because it frees each individual from all the side effects, anxieties, and weaknesses that arise from only connecting to one's partner part of the time. Instead, with this inner bond, there is completion, energy, and a continual union with the strength of the opposite gender. This method is part of the yoga tradition of Swami Rama, one of the great masters of yoga in India. In a spiritual lineage there are some things that are very difficult to each accept through Shaktipat, a direct transference of the inner essence of the master to the disciple. According to his autobiography, Swami Rama persuaded or more specifically coerced his guru into giving him Shaktipat. The result was a passing down from the lineage masters the essence of the feminine to the disciple. In other words, Swami Rama had for the rest of his life the equivalent of a woman existing inside of him. This woman was not independent and autonomous like a modern woman. Rather, Swami Rama had all the feminine sensuality, giving, nurturing, empathy, gentleness, kindness, and that wonderful feminine gift a woman gives of wrapping a man about and holding him within her heart. Unfortunately, it is not always easy to find students who can accept the gift of Shaktipat. Swami Rama had a student who insisted that he give him Shaktipat. Swami Rama put his energy into a glass of water and had the student drink the water. But soon afterwards the student began to act crazy, literally throwing himself against the walls of his room due to the huge boost of energy transferred. Swami had to take back the gift. The difference between what some women do in flowing energy to another and this kind of Shaktipati is that the woman places part of herself permanently in the other person. That is, it is more than just a flow of energy. It is an inner bond. It is not so difficult to imagine your mind or awareness is outside your body. If I imagine I am swimming in sacred falls on Oahu right this moment, I can feel the energy of that mountain pool around me. Part of myself is there because I can sense being there. In a similar way, I can imagine that I am inside of another person. In that exercise, we imagined we are inside of another person briefly, maybe for a minute. In this case, however, we can permanently extend our awareness of being inside of another person. It then becomes a kind of subconscious action, like driving down the left side of highway when you are in Scotland but the right side of the highway when you are back in New York. In the beginning it takes some conscious focus, but after a while you do it without thinking. It is a wonderful, warm and invigorating feeling to have this kind of connection to another. Similar then to the exercise with magical empathy, you imagine you are inside of the other person. But you do not imagine you are that person. Instead, you place part of yourself, your astral body, into the other. Focus on making a connection that is continuous. Then relax and see if you can feel the connection of being in the other without any more conscious effort on your part. Some individuals simply have this ability. For others, you have to practice it. And for a number of people, simply being in love with the other automatically establishes this kind of inner connection. The second way to extend oneself into the other is to imagine the opposite of that individual. If you think of a man, imagine what that man would be like if he were a woman. There is a switch from masculine to feminine. As a man, he may be a scholar and have a strong curiosity about various things. As a woman, he has the same interests and curiosity, but he is more intuitive. Rather than striving for objectivity and clarity, he who is now a she senses the feelings and inspiration within the work rather than the ideas that are presented. The female version is more sensitive to life rather than concepts. You have to play with this to find what works for you. In some situations, the best thing to do from the partner is to extend oneself into that person so as to make the other feel whole. Your presence makes him both male and female. The inner feminine within a man is sometimes referred to in Jungian psychology as the man's anima. The anima is his guide to the inner worlds. Some men need to make this connection first to their own inner feminine before they can continue on to relate to an individual woman outside of them. The same is true about women. Some women need to first relate to the opposite of themselves. In this case, imagine the girl as a man. What would she be like then? Would she be more aggressive and protective of her career? Would she consciously monitor your interactions with her? Would she automatically sense what part you play in her life and be very clear about whether you were taking or giving more than she is giving and taking? Put simply, then, I can sense someone balancing energy. But I can also place part of myself into the other and shape that presence of myself so as to offer the other completion, that is, balance to that individual's present personality. When the partner then relates to you, there is balance between the two of you. You do not have to wait 10 or 20 years for the other to discover how to find his or her inner opposite. You have created it right now. You as a man now have a woman who is more assertive and forthright in connecting to you, clearer about her feelings and intentions. And you as a woman now have a man who is able to respond to the depth of your feelings and genuinely listen to you because he knows what you are as a woman are like inside. The third way is simply imagining the other's deepest needs and dreams fulfilled. Then you embody that vision as you extend yourself into the other. Again, this is sensing the future, the person this individual can become, the better self, the person he or she is meant to be. We practiced this already in our exercise with the magnetic fluid. If I think of one woman, I am in her future. She is free of OCD, her anxiety is gone, she is calm, relaxed, makes a great friend, and is always even and consistent in her relationships. These qualities she definitely does not have right now. But if I were to become part of her inside, then I would embody these specific qualities. I would see her as she can be in her best self, and I would feel right now that this vision and life is completely alive within her, that I am this life and I am continually with her inside, offering this illumination, strength, and feeling. Some of the mermaid women automatically sense others' futures and without effort offer this kind of inner connection and bond. But the receptivity on the part of the others is lacking. They do not want her presence within them, and so she withdraws, except with the one or two who do sense her presence and respond to it. Sometimes with the mermaid women, the woman's personality is not conscious of the mermaid that she also is. And this is in spite of having the superhuman empathy of the mermaid women and the sensitivity to energy they possess. A number of women I can talk to and see a mermaid standing beside of them. And the girl is not aware of what I see. But the mermaid will say to me, "Help her. I am her," but in incarnating she has lost touch with me. Some women email me and say the opposite. "I have always known that I am a mermaid. This personality which others know me to be and all my fame and success are not who I am. It is like a dream. I am a mermaid and I do not belong in this world." With one of the women who is not conscious of herself being a mermaid, I can easily imagine what she would be like if she integrates her inner plain mermaid with her conscious self. She becomes a psychic healer, a guide, a life coach, and a counselor to others. Mermaid women are like priestesses in a temple of the sea, but we have no such temples. Nonetheless, that is who they are. They have this ability to bless and empower others and bring to life the soul that is within them. With this woman, I would become the image and energy of herself as that priestess, healer, and guide she that is her better self. And this presence I would permanently extend into her as a mother places her love inside of the child and as a lover places his or her love within the other. I have seen this done by mermaid women, and I know that many of the mermaid queens not only sense the individual's future but automatically act to manifest that future as well. As far as the element of water is concerned, you really do not know another person at all until you become one with them. And they do not know you until they become one with you. Water is incredibly receptive, life-giving, and adapting. It seeks to meet others' deepest needs and it dreams their dreams. 8. Physically one. With some of these women, if you touch them as in place your hand on her arm, you feel one with them as if there is no you or me, only oneness. There is no doctrine, metaphysics, or concept here. This is a pure sensual mode of perception without need of thoughts or words to clarify awareness. It is a physical sensation of being joined to another so that nothing else exists but your oneness. There is no line where her body ends and mine begins. In the touch, you feel totally a part of each other. Mermaid women are of nature. If you are sensitive to energy, you feel you are out in nature and in fact nature itself when you touch them. Women sometimes touch me casually in a conversation. It is affectionate and friendly. It is a warm, familiar, and reassuring gesture. We have all experienced this. Some of the mermaid women take it so much further without even being aware of what they are doing. This kind of touch represents total intimacy, but for the mermaid woman it is just a natural way to connect to others. The intimacy may appear to be total during the touch, but she is in the moment. The next moment she may be focused somewhere else and there is no thought in her mind that her actions indicate a bond with someone. Here is one way to learn to do this. Grasp your left wrist with your right hand. Notice the physical sensations in the touch, the warmth, the contour and texture of the skin and the touch. Now then, without changing how you are holding your wrist, put into the touch the feeling of "I love you with all my heart and soul." Now see if you can notice the difference. In this case you may sense that your awareness is penetrating through the wrist. The warmth may increase. There may be a feeling of connection and bonding. In other words, the physical sensations now have astral feeling added to them, with the result that the feeling and the physical sensations amplify each other. Now again hold your wrist and notice the physical sensations. Now add to this the feeling that we are one. There is no separation. We are a part of each other. If you can get this to work for you as well, then you may again sense the physical touch and the feelings amplifying each other, but in a different way. There is a sense of not only are we one, but we always have and always will be one with each other. And this feeling appears because the feeling of connection is so strong it becomes the only thing in your awareness which is happening right now. Past and future do not exist in this moment. You can also do this without the physical touch. It is very easy for me to imagine holding someone's hand, and the sense of connection is as real as if I am actually touching that person. There are the physical sensations, the feeling within the touch, and also the response on the other person's part. The sense of oneness comes in when you can focus completely on the sensation of touch without distraction. And then again appears the feeling of being one with each other without separation. The element of water relates to the psychic ability of clairsentience, of feeling energy. Mer women are often profoundly clairsentient, and this capacity to touch and connect with your whole being to another is part of their innate abilities. 9. Soul oneness. The inner dream that transforms both partners. The physical oneness can also include the astral plane. You feel that the two of you share a sacred dream or magical space in which the two of you have become one. The difference with this oneness is that it creates a dream that both partners live within. And this dream is magical. It is used to recreate both partners. In this case, you are not just flowing your energy and aura through your partner. And you are not just placing part of yourself inside of your lover. You are creating a dream on the astral plane, like a dream you dream at night. But this dream goes on when you are awake. It nurtures, protects, and offers inspiration to both partners. And it does this, it sustains a sacred space that is altogether separate from the outer world. And in this space there is only oneness of the two of you. Many traditions around the world speak of a sacred dream time, such as the Australian Aborigines. It is a timeless dimension that sustains the life of the people. In various spiritual lineages, the line of past gurus exists within a realm of light that embodies the realizations, siddhis, energy, and wisdom of the masters. Among other things, it accumulates and stores energy and allows you to draw upon that energy when you need it. Individuals can also create a sacred dream time that is a timeless space where the souls of the two lovers exist with and transform each other. In this case, the lovers are acting as gurus for each other, inspiring, stimulating, and raising each other up to their highest levels. Earlier I mentioned the Sea of Love exercise. It is a method for learning to do what mermaids do. You imagine a sea of water and that you are this sea. Then you imagine the water is also love, and as the sea you flow this love through another person, sensing them inside, releasing their tension, cleaning, and filling the other with love. Your energy seeks to fulfill the deepest dreams in the other. Here is a variation that relates to this magical and sacred space. You imagine a sphere of water around you and another person about 20 feet in diameter. A significant difference between human and mermaid love is that the mermaid perceives love to be everywhere in every moment. Love is not just in the seas of the earth. It is part of a magnetic field that embraces the entire planet. As we breathe in air to keep both body and soul alive, the mermaids breathe in this magnetic, watery love. So for mermaids, the same energy field of love is within each us. In the sense that we are all joined to it, we are also all one with each other. Imagine then part of this love is present in a sphere of water around you and another. Sense this watery love as composing the energy of the sphere, and also that this watery love is flowing through each of you. In this sense, then, it is not you as a sea of love flowing through another person. It is one sphere of love, and the two of you are in it, united to it, and one with it. Next, sense this watery love being in both of your bodies at the same time. You are as much aware of being in the other person who is saturated with this love as you are of the love being inside you and saturating you. Then imagine that the outer form of your two bodies slowly disappears, and that the two of you are simply formless watery love in the shape of this sphere. Some of the mermaid women are very good at creating this formless oneness in which she and her partner are one with each other. One talks about this happening spontaneously. While others sleep and dream, she wakes up in her dreams and is on the astral plane. There she sometimes meets others, and not being limited by physical bodies, they turn into balls of energy, and the two balls of energy join and become one. She says this is far more intense than sex in our physical world. The union involves all of the energy of both individuals. In effect, then you create an astral kingdom in which two individual souls, minds, and bodies feel perfectly one with each other. You look at yourself and the other person, and it feels that your minds, feelings, and bodies are one. This may seem rather exotic, but again, in the realm of mermaids, the standard greeting is to become one with each other. You feel everything the other feels, and both your auras flow in and through each other. The rules governing the realm of mermaids are different from the rules governing human society. But for those who are active in both realms, you are free to share the wonders of love of both realms without restrictions or limitations. 10. Magnet-like magnetism. Like bringing together the N and S poles of two horseshoe magnets, there is a powerful physical force of attraction, almost like gravity, pulling the two of you together. I described a mermaid queen in this way. Being near to her, every cell in one's body feels a connection and desire only to draw closer to her. It is like a force of gravity, except that gravity is cold and impersonal. By contrast, this force is custom designed to synchronize to you individually. Standing 10 feet away from her, I feel like the distance between us is contracting or collapsing. Instead of 10 feet, I feel she has become 5 feet, 3 feet, and then 2 feet away. Space shrinks. Separation dissolves. This is how perception works in her presence. It is well known and often studied scientifically that there is an initial spell of endorphins and dopamine running wild in the bloodstream that lovers experience when they first meet each other. It is usually good for about 2 years before it wears off, though of course there are exceptions. You have heard all of this before. I never felt fully alive until I met you. Upon meeting you, my life finally came into focus. I feel we have always known each other. I cannot imagine living my life without you. You are the reason I exist. You are the part of myself I have never known. With you I feel I am complete. When I am with you I feel I have finally come home. In meeting you happiness has entered my life. When I am with you I am in heaven, and etc. But this spell lovers experience wears off too soon. A schedule sets in. Babies are born. There is exhaustion, routine, constant negotiation over who should be doing what, frayed nerves, withdrawal from intimacy, and all of that. You are not the person I once knew. Even during a very nasty and contentious divorce, you can sit down with the man and the woman who are at each other's throat and simply ask them, "Tell me how you first met," and then watch what happens. Briefly or for even minutes, they smile and light up as if magic is again in the air. And they recount those moments when love came upon them radiant as a rainbow, so that by contrast all others' experiences of life were grey. There are of course various remedies for this state of affairs when love grows dim. You can go to one of those well-formulated worldwide marriage encounters, either for Catholics, Protestants, or by now I am sure for Unitarians as well. They use group support and social reinforcement, a few basic skills like learning to listen, and they even engage in a bit of real magic with the way they work the prayer chain. In any case, the charm wears off and you discover you are stuck with not Prince Charming or a goddess, but another human being who is sometimes a complete fool. Saturn gives us experiences in life for free, such as falling in love. But at some point Saturn expects us to take into our own hands the powers of creation and use them wisely to fill life with beauty and harmony. Here is a simple exercise. Imagine you are in a dream state and your partner is in front of you. This is the specific person you are with, or for that matter it can be the person you desire to meet, or, why be complacent? It can be anyone in the cosmos. Now feel there is a very powerful magnet-like attraction between the two of you. This is physical, like bringing together the north and south poles of two horseshoe magnets. Get that sensation of pulling as a physical force really strong. I am not making this up. Some people actually produce this sensation when you are around them, like the girl I know who says she has a stalker from every country in Europe. It is just the nature of her aura. She is like gravity. She draws others to her with a physical power of attraction. It is not charm. It is not beauty. It is not her body language or voice or the way she responds to others. It is a force of nature present within her. It radiates from her etheric body. Now sustain this physical elemental attraction, but also convert or transform it into the purest feelings of love for each other. If you have ever experienced love, just reproduce that feeling now through using your imagination. Recall what once was as if that love has been reborn right now. The mermaid queens use the elemental powers within water and the magnetism and also electricity to create the feeling of oneness. But mermaids are of nature. They utilize energies like those that exist between the cloud and the sea in an electrical storm. When I was demonstrating this for one mermaid woman, she said it felt completely natural. It was a balanced energy and there was equal giving and receiving. She liked it. Summary and summary, from the beginning, the remedy for mermaids who are here in human bodies among human beings is to learn how to consciously direct and modulate their energy in a unique way for each relationship they are in. You become fully conscious of the energy exchange taking place with others as compared to spontaneously giving all of yourself freely in every moment. In other words, by carefully observing the energy exchange you have with others, you can tell sooner when the energy flow is not working. You can learn to sense why it is not working. And you can have at your disposal a number of ways to ensure that there is a fair exchange of energy between yourself and others. A mermaid in her own realm gives all of herself in every moment without holding back. But what you will notice with human beings is that each person has a distinct quality and quantity of intimacy that they are able to give and to receive. And so in each relationship you respond to the context and to the person. If someone is able to be one with you, then you have the experience of oneness. It is an energy thing. Sex is a side dish. I already mentioned one mermaid on the astral plane. Becoming one with another person is like 100 times better than sex in the physical world. But for human beings, this is not so. They only know what they have experienced with their 5 senses. They do not know love as an energy exchange and flow. Most are starving for love all of the time and mistake sex for love the way an alcoholic will mistake alcohol for a healthy meal. Examples with specific women: a study of their auras, effects, and abilities. Mermaid number 1, her energy aura effect on others: a very serene peace, uplifting and refreshing, like part of nature. Naturally purifying and cleansing. Effects on others: some people feel like they are seeing the light or being uplifted. Others who struggle with ego or identity problems do not know how to relax, let go, and allow the energy to transform them with its purifying healing energy. Kundalini effect: kind of a shock but don't know why options. Build into her aura the use magnetic field to integrate the other through seeing the other as made whole, problems solved, and conflicts resolved. With boyfriends, she loves with her entire being. Everything she is as in I exist to love you. Effects on boyfriends: it starts out as very intense and passionate. But it is meant to be a two-way flow. The exchange of energy she gives requires the other give back in kind. So they feel drained because they have no elemental watery energy within themselves to flow back to her. Best way to relate to her: become the image, energy aspect of nature that she is, like a beautiful lake with mist in morning sunlight, and it is pure, clear, ascending, uplifting, and filled with beauty and harmony and kindness. Mermaid number 2, her aura, Arctic Bay. Effect on others: feel safe, protected, calm. Kundalini effect, minor. With boyfriends, flows an energy through them that makes them feel strong and resilient. Same for last 3 boyfriends. Didn't work on one with mental problems since he shorted it out. Could have used deep sense of peace with him. She still flows energy through previous boyfriends recently, though not mental problem guy. Comments: add relaxed, happy, playful, bubbling like mountain pool and falls. To relate to her, imagine her as a guy and that you are that guy and are inside of her, so when she looks inside she sees you. Mermaid number 3, aura, a vast watery energy field with many kinds of magnetism within it. Inner, senses the one energy that is around all of us. Effects on others: others feel supported. A lot of giving going on. Kundalini effect, others feel betrayed, robbed, abandoned when they no longer have this energy which happens when they leave her presence. Options: use the vastness of her aura so that if anyone even thinks of her they feel content, a vast sea of contentment that anyone feels who meets or knows her. With boyfriends, she automatically becomes inside of the other whatever the other's deepest need is, she fulfills that need. Best way to relate to her, become her deepest need fulfilled, kind of like then two divine lovers. Mermaid number 4 aura, sweet, kind, bubbly, playful, flowing, delightful, inner, like an aquifer welling up with water. Effects on others: relaxing, tranquilizing, releasing Kundalini effect. Others feel stricken in somehow she is to blame because they don't know how to produce in themselves the relaxation, tranquility, and release they feel in her presence. Options: embody in yourself a sacred lake, crystal clear and peaceful. With boyfriends, at some point they feel washed out to sea because unlike her they don't feel a part of the sea. She is taking them somewhere that they do not yet realize is a part of themselves. With one boyfriend, become the counterpart of himself, quiet, introspective but very enthusiastic and excited about all of his work and needs. Read his thoughts and improve upon them. See their implications and applications and connections and integrate all of his life from childhood through all his struggles. Best way to relate to her, become a powerful magnet. So focused on each other and feeling an attraction of body, soul, and mind that nothing else exists. Mermaid number 5 aura, playful, fun, vivacious yet also a deep arctic sense of inner silence and a strong presence of very cold water. At the same time her personal response to others is very receptive, flowing, and responsive. Effects on others: people sense the flowing energy. And the inner silence you have gets others to feel grounded and solid. But it can also be depressing because the silence is outside of what people are familiar with. I have seen people have anxiety attacks because they were in a location where there was no background white noise but only silence. Kundalini effect: there is a physical sense you may produce for others at times in which they feel weighed down. I never got that from you, but then again I hang out with gnomes and practice silence meditations. With boyfriends, a strong solid inner bond works best with someone who embodies silence as well. Other boyfriends would relate to the vivacious playful side of her and not the silence side. Options: a gentle version of the sea of love always flowing to those around her, a healing, purifying, animating watery sea energy. Best way to relate to her, become what she is, arctic silence, then you understand how profound and deep she is. Best way to work with her current boyfriend, since he has this kind of formless awareness about him, you imagine him in front of you and that the two of you are within a sea of water that is also love. You sense the sea with its love being surrounding both of you, and also you sense it inside of him and inside of you. Then you slowly dissolve your image and his image so there is an undivided awareness of two as being one. Every sensation and feeling is both of you at the same time united together. Comments: exploring why you are here, to meet human beings who can match and teach you about the silence you possess, for silence has many forms and applications. Mermaid number 6 aura, assertive, even forceful, but also very childlike and has vibration of the sea and like the sea, has many moods. Effects on others: like being at a carnival through a child's A's Kundalini effect, when she is away you feel like you are in jail. Options: develop a mind that is clear, sharp, and indestructible like a diamond crystal of enlightenment. She is from off-world and is meant to bring her home world to our world. With boyfriends, touch her and you feel you are one body. Results: like she is cocaine and they need continually fix from her to function. Best way to relate to her: set up a permanent two streams joining as one in feeling the energy connection of both uniting into one. Mermaid number 7 aura, like a powerful magnet. Effects on others: others feel connected to her, bonded to her Kundalini effect, the feeling of attraction to her persists. Options: you are capable of being and continuing to be friends with nearly everyone. Work it. Best way to relate to her: become a magnet like her, attract her to you. Mermaid number 8 aura, electromagnetic, both attracting and energizing, personality, both stimulating and tranquilizing in personality effects on others. They are drawn to her but stop from fully connecting because they can't handle the electrical side. Kundalini effect. People keep their distance. But depends on the individual. Some are mesmerized by her. Options, always have a clear purpose to accomplish with everyone so that people understand where that power of yours is focused and where it is going. Effect on boyfriends, both again awakening and calming. Best way to relate to her, relationship works best if you assign her power a purpose to fulfill and you match her support, that is, become what she is, a mermaid in open ocean singing to the moon. Very serene, mermaid number 9 aura, very festive, also very sensitive and empathic effects on others. Others can get high around her like they are zoning, experiencing a flow of feelings without need for thoughts. Kundalini effect, they come back for more but not obsessive options. Sea of love, imagine others immersed in a nurturing, flowing, healing watery energy field when around you. With boyfriends, they feel tranquilized and relaxed around her. Best way to relate to her, produce that watery nurturing energy field in yourself so the two of you offer it to each other. Appendix 2 methods of protection. We have talked about attraction, useful for overcoming barriers and bringing two together. But mermaid women in particular must be careful because it is easy for them to have stalkers who want to take possession and control them. Here are two methods for self-protection. The bubble. Imagine a bubble like a sphere of glass or dull white light around yourself. You don't want to call attention to yourself. And imagine that this shields you, that is, it stops anyone from sensing our aura. As one woman said, if stalkers can't sense my energy, they don't stalk me. The iceberg method. Another woman has a freezing cold watery aura. Stalkers just don't bother her. They get close and then they realize how detached she is and so they back off. You imagine you are a freezing cold Arctic bay or that there is water in the air around you, like blue-green, that is freezing cold or simply that you are surrounded by icebergs. If you imagine this, people can actually feel on some level the coldness. It is not cold as in I don't care about you. It is cold as in I need to put on a sweater, maybe even a winter coat kind of cold. It is like turning to look at someone and you feel you have just opened the door to a walk-in freezer. I would just note that mermaids as spirits are not mammals. They are not carbon-based life forms with a warm metabolism. And every single time I have done a photo shoot at my favorite beach, the women, even the world surfer pro Serena Brooke, says the water is cold. That water is only cold because the spirit mermaids come up to watch the photo shoot. It seems all of the mermaid women have an immense affinity for creating the feeling of cold water even though you are in bodies that carve warmth. Comments on the iceberg method. I do like becoming the Arctic. I feel mean or not me when acting like human woman, but it does work and I just must remember it is an act. It works really well with my husband. Humans are so selfish sometimes. Also changing my water to freezing and putting glaciers around me works well, and that especially works well with strangers or others I do not know as well. I am so sensitive that I have become a hermit and go huge amounts of time not even leaving my house except for the wonderful times I can save money to go to ocean. It's funny because I notice that I naturally do a lot of these things. I agree that it feels mean to act like a human. When I act this way, to protect, shield myself, it makes my heart beat really fast ... as if I'm doing something wrong. Then, I'm always checking myself or reflecting on my words and actions and if it truly benefits the highest good ... is it the right thing I ask? But, like water, we change form and present different faces naturally. I notice especially around my mother, that I feel flatline. Like, I'm almost scared to express joy or happiness out of concern that she'll try to absorb and suck that energy line. So, since being home, I speak monotone, sleep about 11 hours every night to prolong interacting with her energy, do things that seemingly help her out so it diverts her attention to having her nose in my business, and pretend I'm busy on the computer and with friends online. Also, the natural lingo I speak in. confuses her and seems to shut her down because she cannot comprehend an ounce of where I'm coming from majority of the time. I have tried the blue-green energy of water in regards to attaching love to it. And it's not going to work for this particular psycho gnome. I feel drawn to utilizing the cold freezing energy. Just wanted to mention that the visual of surrounding the space by glaciers and emanating waves of freezing cold water from my aura tonight, worked on the family dog. LOL. He had his nose consistently in my lap trying to beg for my food. So, I did this and he totally left. He never leaves. He'll steadfastly sit there for 15 minutes and seemingly not blink an eye. Haha. Now, for the humans. 3 requirements for having a relationship with a mermaid woman. 1. The man needs to acquire the skill of putting aside his ego in any moment and enter a meditation so he feels one with the ocean. It's a meditation thing, just become aware of the sea as if nothing else exists in your consciousness, without referring back to your human identity. This enables you to connect to the mermaid woman on her own terms. After all, if you just feel what it is like to be in her presence, you will often sense that you are out in nature and surrounded by the open ocean. Take nothing for granted. Learn from her all you can. I realize that most men lack the flexibility and imagination to practice a water meditation. Their ego says to them with all the force of history, she is something to take, to possess, and to make a part of my life, so I am then stronger and feel more complete by owning her. But if you are dealing with a spirit of nature in a woman's body, it helps to show respect for the power that is in front of you. Mermaid women are like weapons-grade uranium, except they are not a power of destruction but a power of peace that is able to dissolve negativity. You may feel you can abuse them and push them all over the place with your demands. They seem passive at times because of their remarkable receptivity. But at some point you will notice it is not just a young woman who is with you. There is a sense of the open ocean about her where a billion years of time has no meaning. Magellan, Captain Cook, Columbus, Sir Francis Drake, they sailed the seas but the seas did not appear within their dreams. All the same, these explorers respected the power of nature they were confronting. These women, by contrast, will appear within your dreams. They will get inside of you and act to become one with you, and so it is wise to respect the power that is within them. 2. When you are with the mermaid woman at least once a day, just feel her energy and sense the way she feels your energy. In this way, the two of you can float in and through each other as energy to energy and as two streams flow together to become one river. This is her natural way of connecting everything that she is flows into those around her. Learn to respond in kind if you wish to know her. For those who love water, love is an unending stream like two rivers flowing together or two clouds that join. You are inside of your lover and, like water being poured into water, you feel your lover is you in another form. 3. Understand that she is a part of nature and as such she does not need you in the sense that men so commonly ask, how can I have a relationship to a woman if she does not need me? You can have a relationship to her by embodying in yourself her own empathy by feeling what she feels. Every lover desires another to feel what she feels. And what does she feel? She feels the life in everyone around her and in everyone she meets. And she feels protective and nurturing toward that life. As we have seen in Chapter 1, she feels that a sea of love surrounds her and that this sea of love is continuously flowing through her to others. She has a direct body-to-body and heart-to-heart connection to others that exists totally independent of thoughts, ideas, thinking, intellectual actions, or beliefs of any kind. She perceives love and so does not make silly demands on others to demonstrate their love. Embody part of the mermaid realm in yourself and then you can connect as easily to her as she connects to one of her own kind. This is, after all, why they are here among us, that we might make their love our own. The Kundalini effect. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is love of most unusual intensity. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is hunger and power, love and freedom of the open sea. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is ecstasy flooding your body like a tsunami. Beware of mermaid electricity. No human being can produce this feeling. The bliss when you kiss her lips, who can long endure? She is lightning, thunder, the depths and winds of the seas. A woman dancing in ecstasy. Beware of mermaid electricity. Her eyes gratifies your deepest needs. Beware of mermaid electricity. The spray of a billion waves celebrates its beauty. Beware of mermaid electricity. It is divine fire crossing all boundaries. Beware of mermaid electricity. It binds the sky and the sea. All opposites unite in its beauty. The bliss when you kiss her lips, who can long endure? She is lightning, thunder, the depths and winds of the seas. A woman dancing in ecstasy. A woman dancing in ecstasy. Kundalini is a primal life force lying dormant at the base of the spine. It is considered a sacred energy that takes the form of a serpent and also the form of the goddess Kundalini. When awakened and skillfully directed, it rises through the spine and unites with its opposite, Shiva or transcendent awareness at the top of the head. As it ascends through the body and passes through various energy centers called chakras, the entire spectrum of human life involving physical sensations, instinctual desires, and emotions and feelings are activated, experienced, and then left behind as it continues moving upward to its final destination. But if misdirected or prematurely awakened, it can turn into a blind, insatiably hungry and devouring energy craving sensory and emotional gratification. In other words, it is ravenously hungry to experience life in any form available to it. Westerners who are not practicing Kundalini Yoga or some other form of intense body work that releases these primal energies usually do not encounter Kundalini side effects. But interactions with mermaid women can activate this primal energy. Mermaid women embody a primordial watery energy that is not part of human civilization but something from another realm of experience altogether. As this watery energy passes through an individual's aura, it saturates the individual's nervous system. When a man is with a mermaid woman, he may feel twice if not five times more alive than he feels otherwise. By contrast, when he leaves her presence, he may feel half dead though he has usually returned to his normal state. These withdrawal symptoms are not hard to understand. Withdrawal symptoms from drugs are well known. But consider other possibilities. An individual may play intense sports in high school or college. When he stops playing because he is no longer in school, his nervous system still longs for the adrenaline rush and social interactions and status the sport provided. It may take years for him to adjust to the absence of that external stimulation. A mermaid woman can simulate the intensity of sport activities because in her presence she is responding to you as if each moment is completely new. Watch some of these women and you will notice their range of emotional responses to different people and situations is nearly infinite. There is also a cultural shock that sometimes occurs by living in a foreign country. If you live out in the jungle or where there are no large cities with modern conveniences and you return to a large city, you may have difficulty at first adjusting. You now have warm water, electrical, gas, water utilities, and your cell phone and internet connections work again. But the quiet, the slower pace of the country, and the presence of nature everywhere are missing. You have changed from a society that is close to nature to a society in which nature is only found in parks or nature preserves. Being with a mermaid woman is like being out in nature far from human civilization. You feel refreshed and free from the worries of society just by being with her. Leave her and you are again within a social world that may seem overly predictable and artificial. And there are the withdrawal symptoms that occur when romantic relationships end. Those who fall in love often will say things like, "My life was not in focus until I met you. You are the reason I exist. I never felt fully alive until I met you. I feel like we have always known each other. I can't imagine living my life without you. You are the part of myself that has always been missing," etc. When such a relationship ends, it is like part of you has vanished. Your emotions are in withdrawal. You feel strangely vulnerable and wounded. The excitement and feeling of life being new and full of wonder and beauty are gone. Typically, with such loss, it is not uncommon to go through the five stages of grief: denial, anger, negotiation, depression, and finally acceptance. A mermaid woman can easily create the feelings of a heightened state of romantic love, even though this may not be her intent. It is not uncommon for her to meet someone, and even in this brief first encounter, the man feels she is now closer to him than anyone he has met before. She treated him as if they were lovers. But if he had watched her more carefully, he would have noticed she treats everyone she meets as if they are lifelong friends. She holds nothing back when she gives of herself, and this is easily misinterpreted. The point is that the symptoms of withdrawal when a relationship to a mermaid woman ends can be far stronger than in a romantic relationship. In this case, there is a chance that the primal energy of Kundalini has been activated. This means that the individual may have to deal with more serious side effects. In other words, with human women, the withdrawal symptoms of a relationship ending are psychological in nature. With a mermaid woman, the withdrawal symptoms are physical, as in the withdrawal symptoms in trying to overcome a drug addiction. Many women will run into these problems from time to time. A man or another woman stalks her or becomes abusive, overly possessive, excessively jealous, controlling, etc. For mermaid women, these problems are often far worse. The man is not just feeling loss, hurt, abandoned, etc. There is a blind, primal power activated within him that seeks to take control of his brain, his memory, and his skills as it tries to draw into itself the life it feels it has been denied. If this obsessed individual was a skilled yogi, he could sit down and meditate. He could then calm the primal energy within himself so it falls asleep and becomes calm. Or he could redirect it so it returns to its upward journey toward the top of the head, where it unites with its divine consort, Shiva, who is one with all things without in any way being attached to anything. But such meditation skills are not acquired during conflict and emotional upheaval. Examples: the man cried every day for a month after breaking up with one woman. A different man says he will never have another woman in his life after her, and 10 years later he still hasn't had another woman. The mermaid woman says every male or female friend she has ever had at some point suffers some sort of anxiety attack. The friends become extremely possessive, jealous, and place all sorts of irrational demands on her. One woman says she has a stalker from every country in Europe. She also says she can't recall how many times men have told her that she is the reason he exists, and these are not even people she feels connected to. One woman says that 4 different men have told her that they would kill themselves if they could not have her. For another, when guys start to break up with her, they begin treating her as if she is not one but every conceivable kind of woman wrapped into one. One moment he speaks to her as if she is his secretary, his mentor, his therapist, his priest, his sister, then a goddess, then his mother, then his one and only soulmate, his twin flame, his true love, and all of these alternate unpredictably with his treating her like a tramp, a doormat, a worthless slut, a treacherous harpy, etc. You get the idea. The guy is running, seemingly at random, through every possible response he could ever have with any woman as a way to try to either hurt her or to win her back. Controlling men will engage in these behaviors, but rarely with this degree of variation. Men complete strangers that she meets in some casual social situation email her the next day telling her they cannot live without her and that they want to get married right away and start a family. Driving down the freeway in Los Angeles, strangers will throw a piece of paper with their phone number on it through her car window. Even professionals who are models of stability and reason in their personal and public lives will demonstrate these Kundalini effects. Something different is going on with mermaid women in terms of their effects on men and women. Another unusual kind of withdrawal symptom is the vampire effect. This occurs when a psychic center in the body is not flowing energy outward but has reversed its flow. It is drawing energy inward because it is damaged and leaking life force. The emotions and vitality in that area of the body are running on empty. What has happened is that the individual has charged his aura with the magnetism of the mermaid woman. For him, being around her has been like having an aquifer within himself that endlessly overflows with love. But now this external source of energy flow has ended. Again, she may act like a cute, young, vivacious girl regardless of her actual age. But actually the man has been in the presence of an immortal spirit united to the waters of the earth. If a person's mind cannot conceive of this, his body will still demand he somehow restore the surplus amount of energy she was providing him. What happens then in some cases is that the individual's nervous system seeks to reproduce the mermaid woman's level of giving. But without the actual mermaid woman being present, he may unconsciously try to steal the energy of anyone he is near. In effect, he has become an energy vampire who is doing the exact opposite of what a mermaid woman does. Without being united to the boundless sea of love that she has to draw on, he takes rather than gives. He has experienced a constant flow of vitality and love from her to him. Now he seeks to create that flow from anyone he meets, taking their energy when they are not offering it. And he is completely unaware he is doing so. We notice this sort of thing occurring in innocuous ways when an individual is emotionally upset and ends up demanding a lot of time and attention from his friends. You want to help out by listening and being supportive. The energy vampire may appear to be similar. He is upset, confused, disoriented, moment by moment changing back and forth from elation in recalling his experiences to acute depression in realizing his situation. The difference is that the emotional vampire is unconsciously attaching his aura to you in an attempt to recharge himself. He has become accustomed to having an external source of stimulation that allows him to feel both larger than life and possess a deep feeling of well-being. But now he blindly craves your support and your peace to fill in for what is missing. Put simply, you sometimes have to back off or shield yourself from these individuals because they have temporarily become skilled at absorbing others' energy. Question: since you cite so many examples of men falling quickly in love with mermaid women, are the men falling in love or are they thinking they have fallen in love because of the feeling of oneness that comes from her aura flowing through them? Response: the problem is that if you enter the realm of mermaids, the normal greeting is let's touch auras and become one with each other. If it were two fish in an aquarium and the water in the aquarium was itself loving, nurturing, and giving without end, then when two fish came up to each other being saturated with that loving vibration, they would perceive each other as also being a part of love, the same love. And they would automatically sense that they were one with each other even though they might be different species. So take the mermaid out of her realm and put her in a woman's body in our world and she still carries in her aura the vibration of the realm of mermaids, with its love, nurturing, and giving. So automatically her aura acts as if she is one with anyone she is near. It is just the nature of her vibration, not personal as much as the vibration of the entire mermaid realm, and that realm exists within the energy underlying water in nature. Human beings, by contrast, are always short on love. They never have or get enough. Christ prophesies that out of their bellies shall flow streams of living water, but this does not occur on earth among human beings. And certainly belief or faith of any kind will not reproduce that energy of love vibration within a human being. Faith lacks the creative power of love. So human beings fall in love as a mode of bonding with another. Romance, even at its very best, although absolutely delightful, is also inherently jealous, possessive, and has passed the critical mass of being extremely vulnerable and wounded if the love is not reciprocated. This is because human beings are trying to make love happen by using the chemistry and soul energy solely of what exists within the two individuals. The mermaids, by contrast, are united to an entire realm of boundless love, so for them they do not run dry or run on empty. Intimacy will always reach its height when two give equally to each other. But the mermaid just does not stop giving. Like breath itself, which humans constantly need in order to be alive, she has to love to be a mermaid. For her, the water element is inherently nurturing, loving, and giving. She is, after all, of nature. So problem number one if you join two separate realms, human and mermaid, is that exposure to mermaid love or auras is inherently destructive to the human ego. To feel her energy inside yourself is to feel a love human beings know nothing about. It is a part of nature that human beings never perceive. The church would say in ancient times that the realm of fairy exists to enchant and then to destroy mankind. But the church is wrong. The darkness is within the human soul that cannot behold beauty so free and giving without trying to turn it into a support for the male ego and the productive work of society. And so in our conversation on a flight out of LA with a professional photographer who did one of Madonna's music videos, he says to me, "What you are describing are sirens who call out to sailors with songs that cause their destruction." "No," I reply. "The mermaids who were singing for Odysseus and others at that location were merely singing with such innocence and unbearable sweet love that is perfectly natural to them that the sailors lost their bearing and failed to attend to helm in depth as they sailed toward them. The fault was not in the mermaids who you label sirens, but in the human beings who know not how to give back even a small part of what they are being given." On a flight from Honolulu to Los Angeles, the man next to me told me his tale of woe. He met a mermaid woman, traveled with her, fallen in love with her, and then discovered she is completely free of human needs. This was the first time I had listened in depth to a man's point of view in regard to these women. I could easily sense the aura of the woman he was speaking about. I wrote the song below to describe her. "Some call me a sea goddess, others call me a sea demon. Neither is right or wrong. I am the sea in the form of a woman. I warn men from the beginning that I am a heartbreaker, but they do not pay heed, they do not believe. Yet they quickly lose all control. I'll meet your thirst and your craving. I am forever loving, but who can endure my embrace late at night when at dawn I am no man's possession? My mystery is that there are two of me. A young girl who was once quite needy, but deeper inside I must confide I am the sea wild and free. There is one final secret you must know. To understand my beauty, the passion I need, the fire I crave is lightning the sea striking. Some call me a sea goddess. Others call me a sea demon. Neither is right or wrong. I am the sea in the form of a woman. What is the remedy for the overstimulated or misdirected kundalini? Kundalini often involves a huge amount of nervous energy. You need some sort of activity to redirect this energy until your conscious mind is again functioning normally. One Swami told a yoga student to go climb a mountain so the energy in his body could have the time it needed to settle down. Other possibilities involve relaxing, reducing the stress in your life, for example by spending time in nature. Attend parties with friends, etc. The idea is to return to your normal life as fast as you can. Another side to this involves recapturing projection. Projection occurs when the individual sees in another person what is actually hidden within oneself. A person meets a kind and loving woman. But instead of returning the kindness and love, he in effect wants her to play the role of his mother. He uses the relationship with the woman to avoid having to explore the nurturing side of his own personality. In a sense, this entire book is about recapturing projection. You find nature in yourself. You find a sea of love within yourself. You find a mermaid, merman inside yourself. You learn to flow like water, to be totally in a moment alive and responsive to all its possibilities, and to feel that wonder and happiness are always present. Except the human race is not yet aware of the bliss, ecstasy and love of the mermaid realm, so it has not yet had a chance to abuse this realm. The mermaids did become lovers, but there is another purpose behind why they have entered our world. They are here as our teachers, teaching us about the love that underlies nature. With this love within ourselves, we can finally discover what it is to be fully human. Tied to the mast his sailor's ears filled with wax. To get the most out of his quest, Odysseus puts himself in the abyss separating two realms. Were the sirens out to kill? Can a human being actually imagine a mermaid is like themselves? But what of negative and evil mermaids? She is of nature. But what of the riptide, the undertow, the storm surge, the whirlpool, the tsunami, the rogue wave, the choppy seas, the thunderstorm, lion squalls, hurricanes, and the time I fell into the water and nearly drowned? Homer says the gods loved Odysseus because he was clever. He put on a great show. Entertainment worthy of Olympus. That is, he was not only intelligent. He was brave and bold. Rather than wait or procrastinate, he invented solutions. He did not whine and complain saying, "Gee, the Cyclops wants to eat me," or, Why won't Neptune leave me alone? A true adventurer, Odysseus sought answers from first-hand experience. I too speak from experience. Their love has no boundaries or limitations. It gives all of itself in every moment. It unifies your diversity. It unites with your depths. I sympathize with Odysseus. The need to be tied to the mast remaining a human being when the love is so right is a most difficult choice. Such bliss is hard to resist.